Just Me, a place to be me, where you get to experience life. Life is a journey, not a guided tour. If you want the rainbow, you have to go through the rain.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. 2024 is among us, and we are welcoming it in with open minds and open hearts. With the national federal tax deadline right around the corner, we are going to be welcoming in April 2024 by discussing finances. A lot of times, finances can elicit stress. And if we continue to avoid stressors, long-term ramifications can create negative impacts on our mind, body, and healthy connections with others. So with that being said, we are grabbing the bull by the horns and addressing some of those challenges by sharing knowledge. We ended 2023 by discussing topics around money mindset and financial literacy. We are carrying that conversation over into 2024, and we have two financial coaches who will be offering deeper knowledge around how we view money, how we use money, and how we shift our money mindset to support our financial goals and minimize our stress. So, without further ado, could our guests please introduce themselves and let us know about their business?
Hi, well, I am Yolanda, and this is my husband, Anthony Blinman. And we actually, I'm just going to give a little background. I am a social worker supervisor, and he works with special needs individuals. But we also have a business outside of what we currently do, which we consider our plan B, moving towards our plan A in the e-commerce space. And our business is called Blinman Wellness.
Awesome. Blinman Wellness. And thank you guys so much for joining us today and welcoming your expertise as we welcome your expertise. And so the first conversation that we wanted to have is the relationship between financial well-being and mental health. And I think this is kind of an interesting conversation considering the name of your business.
Yes.
So just let's talk about what financial well-being is, because we throw it around all the time, especially in mental health. One of the eight dimensions of wellness is financial wellness. So that is incorporated in the holistic wellness circle of what it means to be a healthy, holistic person. It includes, you know, social wellness, emotional wellness, and one of them is actually financial wellness and financial well-being. So what does that slogan, that term mean for you guys when you think about financial wellness and why you guys got into the business of finances?
Well, I think financial well-being definitely is a state of being able to meet your current needs financially and to be able to meet your needs in the future. And, you know, just being able to absorb a lot of costs therein, basically. Do you want to unpack that a little bit more?
Yeah. And to me, financial wellness is just having that security and that stability, not having to worry or just have that stress of not knowing how you're going to pay your expenses, but just having a baseline of, okay, I know how A, B, and C is going to get paid and taken care of because I have set up, whereas I have that financial wellness mentally and spiritually and physically.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel that it's a precursor to actually the financial freedom that we're wanting to look for. Is not the end goal, but definitely is growing towards that.
I like how you said it's not the end goal. Hi, Yolanda, and hi, Anthony. Earlier you had mentioned, Yolanda, about your plan. This is your plan B, moving to your plan A. Can you explain a little bit more about that and how that ties into like what Sasha just asked about financial well-being? Because Anthony kind of just moved. It's not our plan. It's not our final destination. So can you kind of elaborate a little bit on from moving from a plan A to a plan B, getting to the financial destination and how that all ties into financial well-being?
Yeah. So with moving to a plan from plan B to plan A, we always start out just growing up knowing, okay, we have to work. That's how we're going to make our income. That's how we're going to make our living. But no one ever gives you the option that, hey, there's other streams of income out there. Yeah, like multiple streams of income, whereas you don't just have to rely on your job. And a lot of people call it side hustles, but it's all in the way you look at it. Like, what do you have pleasure in doing? What do you like doing? Make that your plan A. I love talking to people in reference to health and wellness and ways to help them become a better person in all areas of their life through our business. And so I get joy out of that. And I love social work, but what do you mostly get joy out of? You know, what is God like really truly leading you to do? And so, in moving towards it being a plan A instead of a plan B, you work your business or you work your other stream of income as you want it to be your first stream of income. So you put more time and effort into it.
And let's be real, because we've all been taught go to school to get a full-time job, work 40 hours and get money and then repeat until we
Yes.
retire.
Yes. Building
That
debt.
yeah, that does, that doesn't work. That doesn't work for us because you're in the rat race, you're in the hamster wheel at that point. And you don't really tap into the asset generated income. You can either buy an asset or you can build one. We choose to build one, you know, because then it's generational. You know, even when we're gone, you know, our descendants, our seed will be able to grow.
Now, I want to take a step back for a second because I definitely like, I'm interested in hearing more of what you guys have to say because even you mentioned the term asset, and some people may or may not understand what asset is or assets are and how that kind of goes about and plays an important role in your life, because assets don't have to be that paper change. That can it can also be house, it can also be, you know, different things of that nature. So it doesn't have to be money. But I was reading an article and it said that after COVID, about 66% of Americans identified financial stress as one of the top stressors of their life. And then that financial challenges within their life was associated with either symptoms that represented anxiety and or depression. What do you guys think about that, or what do you guys hear as far as that's related to people that you've spoken to or maybe have coached or counseled on their finances? Is that something that is kind of in line, or do you feel like that's something a little different?
I think it's definitely in line because when we talk to people about asset generated income, you know, a lot of question marks come up there. And it's basically building something that, yes, is beneficial financially, but something that's also residual as you grow. I honestly think that that's more long-standing because we're able to help people to help people. So basically what we do is going to be to help them, but also help them in the knowledge of different finances and how to have delayed gratification and how to actually build that asset generated income that will help them for years to come and help their children for years to come.
But
So you're
in,
saying,
go ahead.
no, I was going to say, so
Oh,
you're saying,
I was.
we start talking about money, everybody got something to say. Come on.
Right.
I
Go
was
ahead,
going to
Ms.
just
Blumen.
add in there about when you had talked about how it brings about stress and how, you know, people deal with that stress and everything of finances is you look at the world that we live in, and again, it goes back generation after generation. of what we were taught. And you look at now, a lot of people look at instant gratification. And sometimes instant gratification gets us in those situations where we are overwhelmed, where we are stressed because we didn't plan. And it's not that it's nothing against delayed gratification or instant gratification because you should treat yourself now and then. But it also leads back to, did I budget? Is this in my extra miscellaneous money for me to utilize something? And if it's not there, why put yourself in a predicament to be stressed, to be overwhelmed? So.
So Miss Yolanda, when you talk about instant gratification, is that something like that pair of shoes that I want, or that concert that I want to go to, or that party that I was planning on doing, or that trip that I wanted to take, and I could like go to Motel 6, but I really want to go to Embassy Suite. So can we kind of elaborate on the difference between delayed gratification and instant gratification, especially when it comes to the finances, because we might not be aware of the terminology. We might be doing the behaviors, but we don't know the terminology. And then we say, hey, that's me. And then we when we make it fit, it doesn't, because when you say it, it makes sense that instant grat, I understand it. But for me to really know, am I really behaving that way? If you can explain that a little bit more.
I can
Call
give
me wow. Let us know what
you
we're doing wrong.
said so I get and we all probably do it, get text messages, not knocking any of these companies, but I get text messages from Ashley Stewart all the time because I love Ashley Stewart. That's like one of my go-to wearing the shirt now. But or Temu, or we get the little text messages and get bras for three for $50 or underwear 10 for $35. Oh, that's a deal. That's a sale. Are your underwear and bras that raggedy, really, that you need to jump on that sale? I'm sorry.
I like
Ooh.
that.
Like, seriously. And then you look back, like, okay, that probably took away from my grocery money, or that probably took away from I got to get to work. This
But
is
a sale. Did you hear that word?
a
You said a
sale.
sale.
Guess what? Come Christmas this time next year, or Easter this time next year, they're gonna have that same sale, or it may be at $5 more, but it will be another sale. Actually, they have a different sale every week, 50% off of this or 50% off of that. But you just gotta look at, like, do I need to fix that? And it deals with your mind. Do I need to fix that instant gratification of feeling good right then and there because I bought something, or just wait and get something that's of higher quality? Or, like, even with going on trips, why are you gonna pay monthly on a trip? If you know you wanna go on a trip and you save for that trip, like you put an envelope, like we do envelopes, and it's groceries, car expenses, miscellaneous. What else is there? We got like five different envelopes, but and we stick money in it every week. Like, give yourself allowance, is how I say it. Give yourself an allowance, $20, $30, however much you want to put into each of those envelopes. And let's say you may not be able to go on your trip this year or next year, but you've saved so that you can just pay straight out for that trip. You're not having to worry about, oh, I need to put this on my credit card, and your the A ARP fees or APR fees, can the whatever it is,
If you are.
are really high. So you're paying probably double or triple if you had just took that time and sat that money aside instead of buying what was on sale because you just wanted that instant gratification. And you know, you could go ahead, pay for your trip, save your money, and do it first class.
And let's be real. We don't want to spend all the money to get there just to sit in the hotel because we can't go to the restaurants in the Bahamas or we can't do the things that we want to do. I
Right.
mean, nobody has time for that. And
Or be smart and do it all inclusive. You know, then you won't have to worry about all
Right, then you have to
that.
worry because
That's true. That's true.
my cap pay, everything gonna be included.
Yeah. But just know that even all inclusive has parameters too, because it's included in what's not
Right,
included.
because your excursions, you have to pay extra for your excursions if you want to do something outside of. But yeah, just being, you know, are we perfect? No. But have we learned some things over the years? Yes. And we just like sharing what we've learned.
By no means do we claim to know everything, but you know, we can kind of keep people from the landmines that we've had in the past so that they'll be able to say, okay, well, I heard from Tony and Yolanda, especially Yolanda, and you know, we're able to be informed so we can avoid that. We don't want to do that, you know. And I would say my expertise is in the exercise sports science. So I have an analogy based on that. You can't out-train a bad diet, so you can't outspend bad financial habits either.
You need a
I don't
hat
think
or a
that.
t-shirt. Say that one more game.
Yeah.
You
Let that
can't
hit people's
out-train a
head.
bad diet, but you can't outspend bad financial habits.
Wow.
That's tough.
And I think about that when there's something that needs to be done, or there's something that we want, or there's something that we want to allocate our money towards, but we really don't have the finances to do it, but we do it anyway because we're just feeling we wanted that temporary relief. And so sometimes that stress can wreak further havoc, financial havoc on us than necessary. A lot of times I'll hear clients say, "Hey, I just need to do a self-care day." But the self-care day will create further financial stress. So then, is it a self-care day or is it a further burden? So looking at how we're terming these things and how we're really looking at these things in order for our mental health to prosper instead of further digging a ditch and digging a hole, excuse me. And that's where that unhealthy coping and unhealthy behavior mechanisms come in, is that when we are over, we're emphasizing certain behaviors in order to relieve or alleviate something that we're already stressed out about.
Absolutely.
That's
And
good.
I really appreciate the nuggets that y'all are dropping, even with the new terminology, like, you know, that you hear. Like delayed gratification, you know, instant gratification when it comes to it. If you had to sum it up, how would you compare financial well-being and financial literacy? Are they the same, or are they close connected, side by side? Financial literacy and financial well-being. Are they different? How would you define them, and how do they work together?
I think they're interdependent of each other because, of course, when you have financial literacy, that's the state of knowing, you know, what your finances, where they're going, what you have as far as finances, and how to work with it. Now, financial well-being, of course, is that freedom to do more things that you have based on the knowledge that you have. Anything to add? No.
That was good.
That's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
So thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys got some nuggets. I hope you guys got some tips around what financial well-being, what financial literacy truly encompasses. And definitely stay tuned because next time we're going to dive into some money mindset. All right. So until next time, take care of yourself so that we can take care of each other.
If you have any doubts as to the merits of future financial recommendations, you should schedule a private consultation or seek advice from an independent financial advisor. The information offered on this episode is for educational purposes only. Thank you so much for listening to Just Me Therapy podcast. If you are seeking further one-on-one diagnoses, interventions, and treatment plans, please consider scheduling an appointment with an individual counselor at Journeys Counseling Center, located in Greensboro, North Carolina. Journeys can be reached at 336-294-1349. The mission of Just Me Therapy podcast is to use authentic conversations to uplift one's mind, body, and soul. The goal of Just Me Therapy is to offer affordable education and insight to individuals who experience financial barriers to accessing individualized behavioral health care services. With that being said, the information, including opinions, advice, and recommendations discussed in this podcast, are intended for individual, informational, and educational purposes only. Such information is not intended to substitute the recommendations of your own licensed therapist or healthcare professional. Although we are licensed behavioral health professionals, we are not your licensed behavioral health professional. As a result, the advice mentioned on this podcast should not replace the recommendations offered by your own qualified health professional.